Grace and peace and mercy are yours this day through the light of the world, Jesus the Christ. Amen. You might know this one. God said, let there be light, and what happened? There was light, yeah. I got to ask one of the kids' choir members that this morning. Sure enough, they knew the answer to it as well. Also, it struck me that on a day where we hear, let there be light, we turn off the lights. I don't know, it's kind of weird. This is one, Genesis 1 is one of the greatest hits of the Bible. If you had an album of the greatest hits stories, Genesis 1 would always be there. And if you want to collect stories that you know and can carry around with you, this is a good one. It's a theological and relational grounding for how people have experienced and communicated the relationship of God with us and the creation for centuries. And of course, like any stories from Scripture, you can read it in different ways and to varying degrees of benefit. For instance, some of you know that baseball has been a part of my story, and I might say that this proves God loves baseball because baseball was a part of the creation from the beginning. Some of you know this, in the big inning when God created the heavens and the earth. Or chapter 2, you can keep going. Eve stole first, Adam stole second, but God threw them both out. You know, later on, David struck out Goliath. Jesus talks about the prodigal son who made a home run. I know some of you aren't getting this, but that's fine. Some of you are, and I thank you. See, it makes a difference how we read and conceive of the text. For instance, many miss the heart of the message in Genesis 1 because they approach it like a science textbook, as if it's a news report, perhaps, of what God did. We're here with God. It's just been reported that God said, let there be light, and light appeared. That's all for the first 24 hours. Stay tuned. I like doing Bible study with confirmation students because they ask bold questions. Years ago, one of my favorites, the young whippersnapper, seventh grade, squirrely class clown, Luke, when reading this text, he tried to stump the pastor and said, Pastor Charlie, where did God get all the seeds for the trees and the plants? Ah, good question, young Luke. Do you see the answer here in this scripture? No, I don't. Now, do you suppose the people who wrote this scripture were trying to answer that question? No, I suppose they weren't. That's correct. Indeed, they weren't, because that's not the type of writing it is. Others, more cynical and skeptical folks, might come at it another way and say, well, this is just a myth among many myths. People made up to explain something they couldn't understand, just kind of a fairy tale. And there's evidence to suggest that elements of this scripture were borrowed from other well-known creation myths floating around the region and told by people, and yet it's not merely a mythological story. Some of the ordering suggests that the ancient people had a decent understanding of science, even. They knew that light and water were essential to life. The wind of God blew over the waters, and the first thing God says is light. There's even somewhat evolutionary progression to God's ordering of things in Genesis 1, as if they had some understanding of that, perhaps. But this text is neither a science textbook, nor a news report, nor a mere myth. Its goal is not to teach how long it took God to create things, nor does it have anything to do with how old the world is. You see, rather, it's a confession of faith. And it's written as a poem of trust. It's a narrative poem. Like lots of poems, it has a rhythm and a cadence. It goes like this. God said, and it was so. God saw that it was good. There was evening and morning, the first day. And then God said, and it was so. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and morning. God said, and it was so. And God saw that it was good. And it was evening and morning the next day. It gets stuck in your head like a good chorus to a song. And it's meant to, like a good chorus, to keep in you. It's a poem of faith. It's a text to be read as a part of worship because it's a constant reminder of God's creativity. And when God creates. I remember a good teacher pointed that out. When is it that God creates? When is it that Genesis 1 says God created? Well, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so Saturday, Sunday. And then Monday, Tuesday. In the daily week, it's a liturgical, poetic function of it. When does God create? In our very life, as we know it, the rhythm of the world. Genesis 1 is a confession of faith that God created and is still creating. When? 24/7. And here's where the story really comes close to home, for it expresses a hope then for today and every day. One of the best things to know about this story in Genesis, it was likely written during a time where the Jewish faithful were in exile. It was a time where there was so much chaos in their life. Everything seemed out of order. And so what do? They write a confession of faith where God brings order to chaos. They're wondering if God is even around. It feels like God hasn't spoken to them in a long, long time. God has been silent. And so what do? They write a confession of faith where God says stuff. And when God says something, what happens? It is so. They're living in a time of darkness, and what's the first thing that God says from their confession? Let there be light. They know if God were to come and say, go home, be free, what would happen? And here's where it comes to us. We might ask the question, do you need any light? Do we still need light? Is there any darkness in your life that you carry? Any darkness that we carry as a human family? Any darkness we're facing these days in the world? Jesus' followers can even take it another step, because it says, or we profess that Jesus is the light of the world. And then Jesus says this crazy thing. He says, y'all are the light of the world. We have a connection with the Creator and creation, in which the Creator instills God's very heart in us. So Genesis 1 is as much about us as it is about God. Let there be light. Do you need light today? Let there be light. You're struggling through a tough time. Let there be light. When? 24/7, which means each and every day, each moment is a moment for new life. What darkness do we face today as a human family? Let there be light. What darkness do your neighbors face? Could you be a light? What light may we bear? Well, for baseball fans, there's light around the corner. Pitchers and catchers report to spring training next month. Hallelujah. For us today, it's another day of God's creative activity. As the psalm says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And as we go forth for ourselves, for each other, and with the whole world that God made, let there be light. Amen.